All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, can I get your attention before we start? I just want to introduce you to my friend Cindy. Linda, pray for her. Miss Cindy's going to have surgery this Wednesday. She's got bladder cancer. Going to have that surgery this Wednesday, and we just want to pray God's blessing over her. I'm going to get Pastor Lynn to do that. So if y'all will, just kind of gather around. If you're where you're at, if you believe in it, stretch your hand out to her. You just pray God's blessing over her as well as we pray for her, okay?
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just praising you and lifting you up and giving you the glory, Lord God. Knowing, Lord, that you know everything, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning, Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. And I thank you right now, Lord, for my sister, Lord. Hallelujah. As we all agree, Lord God, for her healing in the name of Jesus, Lord. We know, Lord, that nothing is too hard for you, Lord. We know that your word will not return into your void, but it will do what you would have it to do, and it will prosper in the thing in which you send it. So we thank you right now, Lord, for healing for her body, Lord. Hallelujah. That from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, she's healed in the name of Jesus. Everything in her body works the way you created it to work right now in the name of Jesus. Her blood flows the way you created it to flow in the name of Jesus. Every cell does what you created it to do in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Her heart, her lungs, glory to God. Everything in her body, her kidneys, hallelujah. We call the devil a liar concerning her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that cancer, hallelujah, has no place in her body in the name of Jesus because she belongs to you, Lord. Lord, you love her, Lord, and she loves you. So we thank you, Lord, as we agree right now for a healing in the name of Jesus. You are yet a healer, Lord. You hadn't stopped healing, Lord. You're still a healer. That from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, she's healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank and we praise you. Hallelujah. We call the cells to straighten up. Hallelujah. And do what they're supposed to do in the name of Jesus. We call out bad, evil cells in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the good cells taking over, hallelujah, making all the cells good in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify you, Lord, and we thank you for a good report. We'll believe your report, Lord. Your report says she's healed, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let everyone that agrees with that prayer say to the glory of God, amen, of God. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you all. I want to bless you too. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you all. Yeah, sure.
All right. I'll bring in
That's good. That's good. All right, guys. Well, good morning. We're going to get into the Word together this morning, Psalm 22. If you got a Bible, want to turn there. If you got a phone that you can check on, or I'll do my best to read it to you this morning. Jesse wanted me to let you guys know he'll be back with us next week. Those guys had a planned week out this week, so pray for their rest and recovery. He'll be back leading us next week. I want to read Psalm 22, and then we're going to pray together and get into this Word just a little bit this morning. If you need to, you can scoot in. I'm going to yell as best I can, but if you want to hear a little better, feel free to scoot in a little closer. Here's what God's Word says in Psalm 22. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth. On you from my mother's womb have I been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for the dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand of awe of him. All of you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred in the affliction of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to them. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families and nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. You pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for this word. I know that's a lot of scripture this morning, and it's such a deep one. There's a lot of stuff going on that we'll read about this morning that we'll talk about. But I pray, God, that above all, that we hear the main part of this story is that you are the author and finisher of our faith, as Pastor Lynn just prayed a little bit ago. Father, we trust in you. We hope in you because of your finished work on the cross. That has hope beyond all things, that no matter what kind of sickness, no matter what kind of turmoil, no matter what kind of tribulation that may have us as well saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we can trust in you, that there is a day coming. Your word says to write this down. You told John in Revelation to write this down because this is trustworthy and true, that there is a day when I am making all things new. There is that day that is coming, the fellowship that we will be brought into, the story that is being written out before us. That is the main story of it all, that we do not have to go through this life alone, that we can trust and hope in you, even in the times when we feel like crying out at the top of our lungs, why, God, have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? God, let us know that you're there, that you're listening. Even when we shout things like that, that you are a loving Father, you care for us, and you've made a way of hope and of salvation. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just to share a couple of things this morning. I want to ask you a question. Do the words sound familiar when we read in Psalm 22? Have you ever heard the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Anybody remember that? Know where that comes from? There's a pretty famous man that uttered that, right? On the cross, right? Jesus himself says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, there's something unique that's going on with this, is because this was written by a man named David and written 1,000 years before that was ever uttered on the cross. In fact, I want you to know, I believe that David is a man after God's own heart. We know that. We see it over and over in Scripture. We've discussed that many times as we've looked through the Psalm. But even as wise and as compassionate and as godly as a man as David was most of the time, let's throw that in there, right? Most of the time in his life, right? Even as much as he was after God's own heart, as much as he walked in step with God, as much as all of these things, David was a guy, by the way, who sinned big, but he also repented big. David was one that would tear his clothes and get down and say, oh God, create a clean heart in me. Matter of fact, create a new heart in me, God. I need something new to happen in me, right? This is David's life. But I want you to know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, David is going beyond himself here. David is given a vision, a prophecy of things to come. David is not just talking about himself being in a moment of saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's as if he's able to peer into the future for 1,000 years and see that there is one coming. By the way, promised to come through his line, promised to come through his lineage and say, there is going to be one coming. And it is if you see over and over and over through this psalm things that point to the man Jesus Christ. And listen to me this morning. If you have ever been in a place where you say, I've heard about that Jesus, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt kind of thing, I know about Jesus, but I just don't know about a man that lives a perfect life, conceived of the Holy Spirit, lives this perfect life, dies on a cross, raises from the dead, and now he's in heaven. I just don't know that I believe that. I want you to know 1,000 years before Jesus ever came on the earthly scene, with pinpoint accuracy, David speaks out of his mouth, writes on paper, and says very much what is going to happen in Jesus' life. If you don't believe me, listen to a few things beyond just, my God, why have you forsaken me? He says, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. Do you remember reading in Scripture where Jesus is mocked before he's beaten? If you're the Savior, save yourself. In fact, even when he's on the cross, if you're the Savior of all mankind, come on down from that cross. I want you to know with just a thought he could have, but it was love that kept him there, right? All of these things, but despised, beaten. He says that their mouths at me, they wagged their head, all of these things. And then he says this, on you I was cast from my birth and from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Who can say that? Jesus himself, because conceived by the Holy Spirit. We continue on and he says in a part of verse 14, I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. You imagine the twisting, the torture that Jesus was in and all of these things. My heart is like wax melted within my breast.
You okay, babe?
Yeah.
All right.
You good? Yeah. Okay. All right, everybody's good. All right, so in this here, continuing verse 14, he says this, my heart is like wax within me, melted within my breast, my strength is dried up. He even used this word potsherd, it's like a piece of clay. Listen to me. On the cross, Jesus faces excruciating death, right? This is telling about the death of Jesus. And even in this, he says, my tongue sticks to my jaws, right? You remember one time on the cross of Jesus saying, I thirst, right? I'm thirsty. All of these things pointing to Jesus. You get to a place where even here it talks about, for the kingship belongs to the Lord and he rules over nations. David is talking about a kingdom that is far beyond his own kingdom. He's talking about one that says even those who prosper will bow down before him. All of those who go down to dust will bow down at this name. Philippians 2, every knee will bow. David is talking about a king that is much greater than him. He is peering into the future to see a king that is greater than him. David is much more talking just about himself in that moment, but talking about one who is to come. And listen to this real quick. I'll come back to this in just a second. He says this, posterity shall serve him. What posterity means is all future generations, everybody, at every name, at this name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And he said, it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. And he's already said to the generation after that, to the generation after that, to the generation after that. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness. Listen to this, to people yet unborn. There's some of you even here this morning, maybe have a baby that you're carrying or ones that will come. And yet, even unborn, it says that these people, we will be able to say, he has done it. It is finished, in other words. David is talking about a whole lot of stuff that is going on, peering into the future here, and looks, and God just grants him with this spirit of prophecy in this, of looking down the line that was promised in David's life. And he is almost saying, listen, I have complaints, I have a kingdom, but there is one coming who is greater than I. There is one coming that will set everything right. This points to Jesus. Now, there's a great place for us as believers that we come to a place in Scripture here. It's great to look back and to think about the suffering of Jesus. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of verses that you could read about Jesus and the cross and everything that he went through. And people would say, amen to that. I love the salvation. I love all of these great aspects about what Jesus' death did. But when you read a verse like this, it's not so much an amen. It might be like a oh me, right? Here's what it says in Philippians 3:11. It's good to go back and look at this because this is what Paul says. Writing to the church at Philippi, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Everybody's for that. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his cross and his resurrection and the salvation power and all of that. But then Paul goes on to say, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Everybody says, hold up a minute. Paul, you done gone too far now. I don't want to share in the sufferings, right? We want it to all be great and grand. You see, somehow we've got this image, and a lot of preachers are guilty of this. They'll throw out money and dance on it and say, if you'll just give me more money, God will give you more money, and everything will be right. Only problem's not in this book. In fact, it says that if you give your life to him, there will be suffering, there will be turmoil, there will be trouble because of his name. If you follow him genuinely in this world, there will be trouble. Know how I know? Jesus told us that. But he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? So we look back at times like this and we say that by any means possible, Paul says, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What Paul is saying is, Jesus, would you make me more like you? Can I be honest this morning, just ask a question? Anybody ever here prayed or asked a question like what David started this out with, what we hear Jesus say on the cross? Anybody ever been bold enough to actually just outside of your mind say to God, God, why did you save me? Why have you forgotten me? Anybody ever said that? I have. In fact, if you want to know the truth, if I can be real honest with you this morning, in fact, some of you might look at me in a different light on this, but I had a moment one time that rocked me to the core, and I was trying my very best to live for the Lord. And when I had this experience happen, I won't give you all the details, I won't tell you all the words I said, but I was in a shower at Bessemer Caraway at the time, now UAB West, and shook my fist at God and cursed at him and said, how dare you do this to me? So I've been there. I've been where the moments have said, God, you've forgotten me. This thing's a joke. I don't even believe you exist anymore. So anybody feel more comfortable now to say, if Pastor can say it, in fact, he might have dropped some dirty words. In fact, I'll go and tell you the truth. I dropped the F-bomb in that moment towards God. I'm not proud of that, but I'm being honest with you. There's a lot of preachers that might not tell you that, but just ride with me a little while. You'll probably hear some of that, or I'll say something to upset you or whatever. I'm still a sinner. I'm just being honest with you. So I've been at that place where I say, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forgotten me? Man, it feels like that sometimes. Can I share with you another blessing of going and looking back at the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Here's what it says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Some of you have made a confession one day. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I will live my life with you being Lord. Listen to me. What I just said a second ago doesn't mean perfection. We know the perfect one. We are going to strive to live that life that He calls us to. But we will make mistakes. There is grace for that. There is mercy for that. But we hold fast to this confession. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Listen to this. This morning you may say, man, Jesus has no idea what I'm going through. Jesus was thrown with every temptation. In fact, more temptation than you've ever had. Have you ever been taken to the pinnacle, to the top of the mountain and saying, just bow down and you can have it all? Listen, the enemy, the father of this world, had the ability to do that for Jesus. He was tempted. He was tempted at a moment. I could take the easy way. I don't have to go to the cross. I could be celebrated and worshiped right here and now and not ever have to go to the cross. He didn't do that. Said that he was tempted with everything and without sin. And here's what it tells us. Some of us may say, yeah, that's good for you, but you don't know what I've done. In fact, you don't know what I did last night, last year, last month, what I'm going to do today, what I might do tomorrow. Here's what God's Word says. Let us then with confidence. Say that word, confidence. You know what that means? Is that when you pray, you can pray with assurance. When you pray, you can go boldly before and say, I stand here as a son. I stand here as a daughter. No matter what I've done because of the blood of Jesus, I stand here redeemed. And I can pray and ask with confidence. Here's what he continues on. With confidence, draw near to the throne of, by the way, grace, not judgment, not wrath, the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. My friend, if you are at a place where you're saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That you would approach with confidence, drawing near to the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. That is what God's Word says that we should do. If you've been there this morning, if you're honest with me, you may not have cussed God like me. You may have been a little bit better than I was in handling those moments. But if you've ever been at that place that you would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And even gone a step further and say, you've forgotten me, you're a hoax, this isn't real, all of those things. If that's you, I want to tell you this morning, don't hold your head down. You're in good company because David and Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's two pretty good people to be in company with, right? So don't hold your head down about that, but don't stay there. Approach with confidence. Approach with boldness. Approach with that assurance. And my sister said over here, approach with that and say, man, I need your grace and mercy. In fact, I just want to be completely real with you. You may never go to a church that you hear this before. If you're so angry at God that you want to shout out at Him, go ahead and do it. He knows it anyway. It's eating you up. It's killing you inside. Let it out. Tell a friend. Tell a dog. We got Lincoln here this morning. Lincoln's our church dog today. Tell Lincoln about it. He won't tell a soul. Right? Just tell him about it. I'm so mad at God right now. If I see you over there peeking his ear up, he's asleep right now, but if you pick his ear up and whisper in there, he ain't going to tell a soul. Some of your friends might. But listen, God can handle it. He knows what's going on in your heart. We prayed this over Senia and talked to her a while ago about it. She's got cancer in her body. Doctors have said a certain thing, right? But we know the Creator. We know the one that knows every single thing that's going on inside her body. Created her in her mother's womb. Knew her before she was ever thought of by mom and dad. Knows her personally, right? He knows you're mad. He knows you're hurt. He knows you're thinking this is a hoax. You can't be real. Surely you wouldn't. I'm going to be completely real this morning. Some of you saying you wouldn't have me living on the street if you love me. I want you to know that's not true. Your circumstances has nothing to do with how much or how little God loves you. He loves you and you are precious in His sight right now. By the way, anybody coming off a bender or a tough night last night, He loves you just the same. He loves you just the same right where you're at. Doesn't matter. I'm so glad for that. Are you? I'm so glad for His grace and His mercy. He doesn't want you to stay there, but man, He loves you and cares for you. I want to read something in closing again just one time. If you've ever wondered, man, why does this church exist? By the way, I love having this conversation with folks. People will come to me and say, yeah, but where's your church? Right? Right here. You're it. This is us. Everybody, yeah, but what building do you go to? What church do you have? This is my church. This is our church. This is what we are doing. This is church, right? All right, there is no steeple. There is no stained glass. In fact, there's a bunch of broken people, me being the chief of. This is church, right? All right? If you've ever asked, though, why does this church exist? I want you to know it's much more than Sloppy Joe's and mac and cheese. That's good stuff. That is good stuff, but there's more to it than that. It's so that every person that comes here and every dip of Sloppy Joe and every dip of mac and cheese and all of that, the smile, the hug, the handshake, it's to point them to this right here, that it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to even a generation after this, to a people yet unborn, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your grandchildren's children, all of those generations that they may know. Listen to this. It is the same as Jesus saying at His death, at that moment, as He's about to die, as He's about to give His Spirit over to the Lord. He says these words, "It is finished." Here's what David says. "They shall proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn that He has done it." Over. Why do we exist? We exist to be a place where everyone has a seat at the table. Every story is safe, and you get to hear in your story that you're a part of a bigger story and that it is finished in your story if you would only let it be. Some of us don't want it to be. We want to keep trying to figure it out. We want to keep banging our head against the wall, saying, man, surely I got to do more. I got to fix it. I got to work. I got to do this. Man, that is a heavy, heavy burden. Would you lay it down this morning and say the same words, the same finished words of Jesus on the cross? It is finished. Man, you can see the breath, right? The load that comes out of that. It is finished. If you're struggling so hard and saying, man, I gotta. You can go to a lot of places and hear a lot of Christians that's going to tell you this whole list of stuff. You got to pray more. You got to read your Bible. You got to do this. All them wonderful things. And yes, great things to do, and we need to do them. But you don't have to do that for God to love you anyway. He loves you right where you're at, that He sent Jesus for you. It is finished. We love to add more to that, but it is finished. Anybody want to say that with me this morning? It is finished. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. Forgive me when I try to make it so much more. When I try to earn my way by religion, I try to earn my way by doing this to-do list of just cleaning myself up or trying to. It is just empty religion at that point. Would you help me just every day to know the story that I've been written into, the great love story of Jesus, you saying for Keith Akins, you saying for every brother and sister here, you saying for every person here that is yet to believe this, you saying it is finished, would you come to me? I believe that so much in Scripture about just heavy burden. Come to me and I will give you rest from trying. I will give you rest from feeling like you've got to clean yourself up. I will give you rest from feeling like you've got to be better. I will give you rest in the finished words of it is finished. David says it is done. He did it. God, thank you for that. Help us to remember that when we are in a season of my God, why have you forsaken me? Help remind us of a couple of things. We're in good company. Jesus and David themselves said this. And help us to remember that you are the hope in that situation. You are the one to give us grace at your throne of grace, to give us mercy to make it through whatever we're going through. We love you. We thank you. We beg this of the name of Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for being here.